This morning's scripture can be found in the book of Matthew chapter 14. So if you please turn to that. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. I ask that when you get there, please stand to show reverence for the word of God this morning. And also, if you don't have a Bible, please see me so I can give you a Bible. Matthew chapter 14, reading verses 22 through 33, which I'm sure should be a pretty familiar passage for many of us. That's Matthew chapter 14, now reading verses 22 through 33. Now the reading of the Word of God. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat, go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, after buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. Beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" When they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." We praise God for his portion of his holy word. And I had already planned out this message. And I couldn't help but kind of laugh as I'm going through this, thinking, man, oh man, you just love, you know, the message is spoken right back to me. And it applies in so many ways when we open our hearts to really hear what the Word of God is saying and the healing, and not only the healing, but the confirming power that comes through the Word of God. Amen? So, I don't know about you, but I would like to walk on water. I want to walk on water. Anyone here else want to walk on water? This life with its storms that try to sink us, and life that tries to keep us down from doing extraordinary things, I want to walk on the water. I want to make sure my eyes stay on Jesus, even though at times it is so tempting to allow our minds to wander elsewhere. I want to do extraordinary and amazing things through God's power and not just live life and just kind of float through, so to speak. Let's look at the situation the disciples find themselves in. Jesus is off on his own praying while the disciples are 3 or 4 miles away from the shore. It's around 3 o'clock in the morning and a terrible storm comes up and starts throwing their little boat around. The wind and the waves are pushing them further and further away from shore. And some parts of the sea are up to 200 feet deep in this area that they're at. Now, the wind and the waves, the storm was fighting against them. They could paddle all they want. They weren't going anywhere. The wind and the waves became an obstacle, a fear of unknown, an appearance of destruction. Obstacles or storms in our life can come in two ways. Sometimes, number one, through difficulties, tragedies, sickness, loss, etc. Or number two, life situations that appear to hold you back in your faith and doing certain things that God may be calling you to do by faith. So in verse 26, not only are the disciples in fear by their circumstances, but now they also are terrified because as they look out onto the sea, they see something walking on the water coming towards them, and all they can think is, it's a ghost. Some of them were pretty scared. Maybe some of them had some wet pants, not from the sea, so to speak. as they were terrified on what was heading towards them. Now seriously, what would you do if you were out in the middle of the sea and a storm came up and all of a sudden you see a figure walking on water? Bob, say you're out of Monk Chunk Lake. You're out there fishing and a storm comes up and it's foggy and difficult. And all of a sudden you see this something walking on water. What would you do? You probably wouldn't threaten to punch it in the face, right? Yeah, he called for me. They were terrified. They were terrified. I would probably freak out. That's just probably what I would do. So they cried out in fear. These are grown men shrieking, if you could picture that, in fear. But it says, immediately, Jesus shouted out to them. He responds immediately, knowing that there is fear in their heart. It doesn't say that he waits. There is fear, and immediately, the fear that is in their heart is calmed as Jesus shouts out that it is him. When we are scared, God's word should immediately come to our heart and our mind in order to calm the fear in our hearts and to replace it with peace. How does that happen? It comes by allowing the word of God to, first off, to sink into our hearts and into our minds, to be absorbed by being in the word, by hearing the word. That we're in these moments of fear and not knowing what's going to happen, these struggles and these temptations, that we can cry out to the Lord, and immediately His word will come to bring peace to our hearts, a peace that passes all understanding. Amen? Amen? Amen. Jesus says, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. I want you to remember those three words. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. To be courageous really is an attitude, if you think about it. That courage is backed up in the fact that Jesus is the one who is in charge. If I am dealing with something that is fearful or unknown or some sort of struggle or circumstance, I can take courage in it because that courage is backed up by Jesus. Amen? And who is Jesus? He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the great I am. He is the one that controls all things. And so in life circumstances, we need to take courage and trust in Him. We need to fear not, put aside our emotions of fear because they're unnecessary if Jesus is in charge. Today, God is saying to you and to me, take courage. I am here. Don't be afraid. In your storm of life, God is saying that to you in your heart right now. Maybe in that calling of God to step out of the box in faith, we take courage, for He is here in the midst of our leading. You know, a couple examples of that is the church that we already did. You know, the building across the street. That was something that God laid on our hearts, and it took courage, okay, to do that. But we knew there was no fear behind it because Jesus was the one who was leading us. When we look forward to, you know, we know got a couple other things we're excited about, right? We want to do, we know we want to do a fellowship coffee house behind that thrift store, but even bigger down the road, we want to do a Christian school, right? We got to take courage. Know that it is Him and not be afraid that's going to lead us in that. Amen? Now, we look at our buddy Peter. Everyone loves Peter, the disciple, because, you know, he had such love and excitement for God. Now, many times he stuck his foot in his mouth. Many times he ran ahead of the cart, so to speak. But here we see Peter responds, he says, Lord, let me walk in water just like you're walking on water. He asks, he calls out, and what does Jesus say? Okay. Peter, come on out. He says, come on out. So he climbs out of the boat, foot onto the water, and starts to walk towards Jesus. Now, you could say that he's a brave man. You could say he's a man of faith. You could say he's a man that doesn't think before he does certain things. Either way, let me say this. The other disciples, the other bums were still sitting in a boat, and Jesus and Peter's going towards Jesus. So I give Peter all the credit in the world that he had the faith to call out to Jesus and say, I want to come out and do exactly what you're doing. And isn't that really what a disciple is? A disciple is someone who walks in the footsteps of their Messiah. Each and every one of us should be looking at the things Jesus did and how he lived and how he walked. And we should say, Jesus, I want to do that too. And walk in the footsteps of our Messiah. You know, Jesus wasn't going to ask any of them to get out of the boat to walk on the water. It was a moment of faith that Peter said, by God's power, I can do as well. How many of us need to get out of the boat and walk on the water? Jesus, God ain't going to say, hey, you need to do this. He's going to wait for you to call out to him and say, I have the faith to do it. Let me get out and walk on that water. And we'll never know the great plans God may have for us if we don't, by faith, call out to God first and get out of the boat and take that step of faith. Amen? Amen? All right. As a church, we can't live with regret because we're afraid. So many people are negative about what can and can't be done, how it can be done. And although many times there are things that there are hard decisions, many times God is just waiting for somebody to do something and to trust him to do something amazing. And so sometimes we end up doing things that we would never ever dream of doing. And all it took was trusting in faith to get up, get out of the boat, and to walk on water. Now, it'd be something if that's how the story ended, right? Just ends right there, Peter's walking on the water, him and Jesus are just having a good time walking on the water. As we know, that's not how it ended. Peter does what I'm sure many of us might have done if we're honest with each other. Or what we do many times when life storms and uncertainties happen right now. Peter looks away from Jesus and upon the wind and the waves, and he becomes afraid. He begins to sink and he cries out, Lord, save me. I'm sure it's a little bit more than what I just did as he begins to sink into that water. When he saw, he became afraid. When he saw the wind and the waves, he became afraid. When Eve saw the fruit was good to eat, she ate it. When I see what the future could be in my mind's eye that creates worry and fear, I begin to sin as I lose my trust in God. When Peter saw the waves, he saw the obstacle was bigger than himself and forgot that God was bigger than the obstacle. How many of us run into that problem? When we forget that God is bigger than the obstacle that we face, and we focus so much on the obstacle. So he becomes afraid. He allowed his fleshly emotions to take over his faith. He begins to sink. And anytime we take our eyes off of Jesus, our foundation, his promises, we too will begin to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me, and God upholds us by faith. Our lack of faith causes us to sink. God reaches out and he saves us. I don't know how many of you guys have kids, how many of you guys have taught your kids how to ride a bike. Or maybe you've seen it or you remember yourself when you first learned. Usually when you first learn to ride a bike without training wheels, what usually happens in most cases? Somebody is behind, right? Running behind, holding the seat, and then they let go. And then the kids drive and they have no idea until they look back and see dad's not back there. And what do? Right? And they crash. It's so easy for us sometimes to take our eyes off of what we're doing, what God has called us to do, and get distracted and end up falling or sinking. But you know, again here we see this word immediately. The fear came over. Peter cries out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus reaches out for him. Even, and this is really where his grace and mercy comes in, even when we take our eyes off Jesus and we realize the mess we're in, as soon as we cry out to our Savior, he got us. Immediately he reaches down and he grabs us. Immediately. God knows our fears and immediately comforts our hearts when we call to him or reach out for him. He calls out to us and reaches out to grab us, to catch us when we fall. And so what do we see Jesus say then? He says, "You of little faith, why do you doubt?" And I don't think this is a time or a moment where Jesus is standing there pointing his finger at Peter and giving him heck and saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt? What's wrong with you?" I don't think he chastised them, because Peter showed more faith than the other guys sitting in the boat. I think he said it in a way that was more like this, in our kind of language. "I had you, kid. Just trust me." How many times do you think he's just speaking that to our heart? "I have you, kid. Just trust me. You have little faith. Why do you doubt?" Of course, we know when you think about everything you've gone through so far up until this point in your life, where you know that he's had you, and he's been with you, and he's walked with you through each and every circumstance of your life. So Peter reacts to Jesus on the water in faith. His impulsive request led him to experience a rather unusual demonstration of God's power. Peter started to sink because he took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the high waves around him, and his faith wavered when he realized what he was doing. We probably will not walk on water, but we may walk through tough situations. If we focus on the waves, the difficult circumstances around us, without faith in Jesus to help us, we too may despair and sink. To maintain your faith when situations are difficult, focus on Jesus' power rather than on your inadequacies or lack of control in your situation. We need to remember as well that although we start out with good intentions, sometimes our faith falters. This doesn't necessarily mean we have failed. When Peter's faith faltered, he reached out to Christ, the only way and the only one who could help. He was afraid, but he still looked to Christ. And so when you are apprehensive about the troubles around you and doubt Christ's presence or ability to help, remember that he is always with you and is the only one who can really help you. So it is recognize Christ's presence, which is the antidote to our fear. Recognize Christ's presence. That is the antidote to your fear. At the end of the scripture here, it says they both climbed in the boat and the wind died down. You know, as we close here, I want you to think about a couple of things. Number one, Jesus knew about the storm. All right. Jesus didn't go off to pray thinking, "Oh, there's a, you know, I don't know what's going to happen." Or he knew the storm was coming, and he told the disciples to get into the boat and to go on to the lake, even though that storm was going to happen. He knows about your storm and your obstacles in your life. All these things can teach us to keep our eyes on Jesus, as well as be opportunities to, by faith, do great things that we would never imagine through God's power. The wind and the waves stopped once Jesus got in the boat because the purpose of the waves and the wind were over. He had control the whole time. The storm was obedient to him. When Jesus climbed into that boat, the wind and the waves stopped. They weren't necessary anymore. His lesson of teaching was done. He was in control the whole time of that storm. And it's the same thing in our lives. As God teaches you in your life, the things he wants to teach you through your difficulties and your circumstances, at some time that storm's going to stop because the lesson will be over and hopefully your faith will be stronger. Whatever you face, it is obedient to God. Trust God in it and praise him through it. When the storm stopped, the disciples began to worship Jesus and they said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let me just say, and perhaps you need to say it as well to remind yourself, truly, you are Son of God. He loves you so much that He is willing to die on the cross for your sins. We know we can't get there by our own good works. Nothing we can do. It's by the shed blood of Jesus, power of His resurrection, that gives us new life. He loves you so much He was willing to die. That's not somebody that's going to let you drown in your circumstances. He's going to raise you up by faith for the glory of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You and praise You. Lord, help us all to want to walk on water. Let us all by faith call out to You and walk in Your footsteps of trust and obedience. And Lord, in those moments of weakness, when we struggle and we turn our eyes from You, Lord God, I pray Your Spirit will convict us immediately to cry out to You, Lord God, to regain our focus. Lord God, to be reminded that we don't gaze at our problems and glance at You, O God, but we glance at our problems and have our gaze upon You. We thank You, Lord God, for Your compassion, for Your salvation that comes to Your Son. And that, Lord God, in the midst of all things, we can praise You in the storm. We love You in Jesus' name.
Again, I'd like to thank you for listening to Voice in the Valley. We'd like to remind you that if you'd like to come join us on a Sunday morning, we have a church van that can come and pick you up. Just call the church before 9 a.m. on Sunday. The phone number is 570-645-2212. And leave your name and your address and your phone number, and we'll come pick you up. Also, our Thankful Thrift Store is open every Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and on Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at 24 West Ridge Street, Lansford. The phone number is 570-645-9920. So if you get a chance, stop by, come in, say hi, and we have all kinds of things in the Thankful Thrift Store. We hope that you have a great and blessed week.
Susie is with us from CareNet, a very important ministry in Carbon County, CareNet Pregnancy Center, and we have a little clip that we're going to show, and Susie's going to come on up and share a little bit more before we get started.
No doctor would see me because it was a high-risk pregnancy. I was 5 months pregnant. I only weighed, 98 pounds. I was addicted to heroin and drinking a lot. I was scared and afraid, and I didn't want my family to find out because I knew that they didn't want me to have a child. I still kind of thought that maybe the partial birth abortion would be an option.
Hello, I'm Melinda Delahoyt. Each year, nearly 3 million women become pregnant unexpectedly. And each year, almost half of those pregnancies will end in an abortion. Come join me now as we explore the ministry of CareNet and our local pregnancy centers, a ministry that is saving lives and healing hearts every day across North America.
A pregnancy center is a place that offers comfort to women who are in crisis pregnancy.
And we provide different resources so that they feel like they can carry their babies to term.
There are many women who want to have their babies, but they won't because they don't think they can, because they can't afford it.
They're at all different stages of emotional levels. Some are in denial, some come in scared.
What we want them to find here is a safe haven.
We make no judgments on them because we stand before them as imperfect people.
We want them to find love and comfort.
We offer counseling for them.
They talk about the resources that are available to them if they don't have medical insurance.
We let them know that it is possible to have your baby and we can help you all we can.
So women find it. We have many clients who will say to us, I've never felt so safe as when I'm in there with you. And to have pastors in their churches and the people in their churches supporting us spiritually lifts us and helps us fight the battle that we're fighting.
Pregnancy centers exist to serve the church. We wouldn't be here without the church.
This is a nonprofit organization, and The monies come from usually churches and individual donors and maybe some foundation grants.
We know that a girl's going to be more likely to come into our door for a pregnancy test than they will be to go through a church door.
So as we build these relationships where they're helping us, we also help them by offering a place for them to know where they can send young women.
And we're all part of the body of Christ that loves them, and that we can encourage that girl to get involved in a church.
So we see our relationship with churches as just the arm and the leg working together to serve this community through crisis pregnancies.
Found out through a friend about CareNet Pregnancy Center. From probably the first visit, it felt like she was mom to me. And I think that was the first time in a really long time that I felt like, you know what, someone actually cares about me. You know, she explained how, you know, Jesus Christ, he died for us and he loves us so much. She asked me if I wanted to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I didn't know a whole lot about like what was going on, but I knew that I wanted to be a part of, I wanted to be his child. On February 22nd, I had a beautiful baby girl. She was 8 pounds, 21 and a half inches long, and she was completely healthy and beautiful and perfect. And if it wasn't for CareNet, I wouldn't be sober today. I wouldn't have Brooklyn in my life. I wouldn't be a Christian.
Come join with us and be kingdom partners together, saving lives. Your prayers, volunteer hours, and generous financial support help ensure that every woman will have access to needed pregnancy services at her local CareNet center.